Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game, we are live at 3rd and Home in Germantown. The bar with the ballpark, it's connected to First Horizon Park. Sounds tonight open the season, so we're excited to be here. Caroline Fenton is here. So last night was Pekka Appreciation Night. As I said on Twitter, it was the Nashville version of Kobe Bryant dropping 60 in his final game when he dropped the mic, Mamba out. That was Pekarene, although Pekka is never going to do something like that. I mean, there's things Pekka's going to do and there's things Pekka taking the mic and talking to the fans and then dropping it and saying, you know, Pekka out, that's never going to be something he does. But the sentiment amongst the fans, I think, was very similar last night. But there is one thing that I think he proved last night. He has not played in a while. This team has been very dedicated to just running UC Saros out there. And to their credit, Saros has played well. And Saros is the number one goalie. Everybody knows that. But, and not that I think there was much of a question in this regard, but the one thing I think Pekarene proved to all of us, a lot of times when you see a guy play his last game like that, he really is on the decline. He really is on the downhill. Derek Jeter got a base hit in his last at-bat at Yankee Stadium to walk off against the Orioles. But that Yankee team was terrible. And honestly, Derek wasn't very good at that point. Like, it was time for DJ to hang it up. When Kobe scored 60, I mean, he just shot the ball every time down the court. That Laker team was terrible. Kobe was getting hurt. The Lakers hurt. I think, you know, take the sentimental stuff aside, which I certainly, you know, think was the storyline last night. Pekarene told John Hines and told all of us last night, hey, if you need me against Carolina, I'm going in there. I'm ready. Now, I don't know. First of all, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. I think Carolina's pretty good. I think we need to be honest about how good Carolina is, but we'll have about 4 or 5 days to do all of that. They're not going to make a change. I had always thought that if it was kind of 1A, 1B, and then you lose the first two games, you make the change to the other guy just to see if that sparks you. If UC Saros goes out there and plays okay, but he doesn't steal any games, then I'm probably looking down the bench saying, okay, can you go in there and steal a game in this series? Because if you're going to beat Carolina, you have to steal two games. The goalie, with the way this team is built, the goalie's going to have to steal two games. You're going to have to get lucky in one, and you're going to have to beat them. You know, you're going to have to beat them in one game, the way you beat them on Saturday night. You're going to have one of those. You're going to have one game where you get the puck off the skate, off the side, into the net, pure puck luck, and then the goalie's going to have to steal two. But I do feel like they are so committed to Saros at this point that you can't think past next year if you just want to change it up to get a spark. I mean, he's your number one goalie. And you don't do that to your number one goalie. If you've got two goalies and you don't know who you like, I think the Predators played Anaheim in a playoff series a couple years ago, and they had Frederik Andersen and John Gibson, and they lost the first two games with Frederik Andersen, and in went John Gibson. You can do that. But when you've got a number one goalie you like, and he's your number one goalie, and he's proven he's number one, and you know he's number one, and you treat him like he's number one, he didn't come out. Carey Price is not coming out in the middle of a playoff series in Montreal. Tuukka Rask is not coming out in a playoff series in Boston. You do not take the number one goalie out. Just like after game two of the Stanley Cup final, which I thought all that talk was ridiculous. Kind of like how I think the Julio Jones to the Titans talk is ridiculous.
Oh, I don't want to hear any of it.
But you still got people who are still talking about it. After game two of the Stanley Cup final, Pekka had gotten pulled, and I didn't blame him for game two. I mean, Pittsburgh was just better. But there was all this chatter. In the day off, in the travel day, there was all this just chatter about the fact that, well, you know, maybe they'll make the move at goalie and maybe Peter Laviolette will change out. Like, what? I'm like, what? You're going to change the goalie situation in the Stanley Cup final? You're going to take the guy who got you here? The guy who, in the Western Conference final in 2017, without Ryan Johansson and Mike Fisher, gave up one goal on 33 shots in Game 5 and then stopped 38 of 41 in Game 6. The Predators got 16 shots in Game 6. He stopped 38 of 41. You got your butt kicked by Anaheim that night. But Puck off Montour's skate into the net. Then you get a lead. Colton Sissons out of nowhere has a hat trick. And your goalie stops 38 out of 41 shots. I mean, you're going to bench that guy in the middle of the Stanley Cup final? No, they were never going to do that. And yet it was something people want to talk about. If Soros loses a couple, if he loses the two games in Carolina, I'm sure there will be some talk about, oh, are they going to make the move to Pekka? Are they going to? I don't think they are. I don't think Hines is going to do that. I would not advise that they do that. Whereas last year, when I thought it was more of a 1A, 1B situation, I advised making the change after Game 3 of the Arizona series. I think the only way he goes in there is if it's an injury situation. Because I still don't, I don't think that they can bench Soros, and I think that's kind of a long-term play for them. But I do think the one thing he proved last night, he is ready if they need him against Carolina. And I think Soros can steal you a game against Carolina. Maybe he can steal you two. I think Pekka could steal you a game against Carolina. Maybe he can steal you two. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I see people waiting. Adam is up next. Thank you for waiting. And you go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I got two things, man. Number one, what a heavy night. Like, I was emotional watching it. I'm sure everybody as at the stadium was emotional watching. It was just cool seeing him do the lap. He deserved it. I hope he doesn't ever play another game. Like, pitching a 5-0 shutout against the best team in the league, I don't care who they were sitting, is a really cool way for that guy to go out. And I would never want to have to play against him. So I really hope you don't talk about that too much because I don't want to think about it. But me and you talked about Rocco last week, and I really want to ask you one more time, man. I don't just want to hear he's not good enough. I want to know what he's not good enough. Ian told me a little bit, but I want to hear what he's not good enough at because he looked fast. He looked explosive. He looked good. He scored, got the score and started. You got to tell me why you don't like him. I would hate to imagine us playing playoffs and Rocco not starting.
Sure. So Rocco's not going to play. Thank you for your call, Adam. Rocco's not – I would be stunned if Rocco Grimaldi is on the ice in the Carolina series. The truth of the matter is, if you're going to beat Carolina, you're going to have to be physical with them. You're going to have to make it really hard for them to get through the neutral zone, and you're not going to allow them to set up shop in your own end. If you do that, you lose. If you set up shop, if they set up shop in the Nashville zone, you take penalties, you do things like that, you lose. I think it's just as simple as that. So you got to be big, you got to be physical, and you got to push them around. Rocco doesn't do that. I think Rocco's a much better player than Brad Richardson. I think he's a better player than Tanner Jeannot. I think he's a better player than a lot of guys, perhaps, in the forward lineup. But you're going to have to be physical with these guys. You're going to have to hold your own weight. You're going to have to push them down. You're going to have to knock them back. Rocco just simply doesn't do that. Rocco's not great in his own end. He's not great in the neutral zone. He's not a very physical player. The way this is going to work, go back to 2017. You all know how much I hate talking about that. But go back to 2017. The way this is going to work is you're going to have like a handful, like 16 forwards, 16 to 17 forwards or something like that. And you're going to mix and match those guys. If you have a nice little run, guys are going to get hurt. So you're going to have to bring guys into the lineup. Remember Harry Zoldner, Chuck, against Chicago? Remember Pontus Aberg got hurt against Chicago? He went out, came back for Anaheim. Remember Cody McLeod with the game winner against the St. Louis Blues, Vernon Fiddler, and you'll move it around when you win a game here. You feel like, you know what, we need to get a little bit more physical. We need to get a little bit tougher. So Brad Richardson is in and somebody else is out. The only guy I would put Rocco Grimaldi in for, and I would consider it, and I know people are going to get so mad at me, Caroline, oh my God, is Arvidsson. I just don't think Arvidsson does anything anymore. I think Arvidsson is a back of the baseball card kind of guy, which is, hey, you know Arvidsson scored 30 goals like 4 years ago? Okay, great. Great. But I don't think there's that much of a difference right now between Arvidsson and Rocco. That's the only guy. And I would, as much as I hate giving someone credit for what they've done in the past, I would go Arvidsson over Rocco. But I don't think Arvidsson really does anything anymore. And I certainly don't think Arvidsson is a playoff player. Because as they say, when the playoffs get going, the big good guys beat the good little guys. And that's kind of where Rocco. Were you going to take out Granlund? No. You're not taking out Matt Duchene. You can't take out Matt Duchene. You cannot do that. So it's basically like, okay, you're going to take out Eric Halla? No. You're going to take out Brad Richardson? I would in a different series, but in a series where I want to be more physical and I want to be tougher, I'm really playing those guys. And I'm certainly not messing with that fourth line because those guys are physical and those guys have, I mean, the other night, Tanner Janot was laying people out. So I don't see, personally, I don't see Arvidsson, or I don't see Rocco making the lineup. Though he did, in fairness to him, he did make his case. He did make his case last night.
Had a goal last night.
Had a goal last night.
And to be fair, Arvidsson had a hat trick a few weeks ago. I mean, it's not like he's done nothing.
No, but I just don't. I mean, like Rocco had a hat trick a few weeks ago, too, and we don't even think he's going to be in there. I do not think Arvidsson produces enough anymore. I don't. I think that he's too injury-prone. I think the injuries over the years have caught up to Arvidsson. I never thought Arvidsson was a great two-way player. You know, he's a scrapper, which is fine. But I just, again, I think he's a back-of-the-baseball card guy. This series is going to be won by the Cali Yarncroaks. You know, by the two-way guys, the Colton Sissons, the two-way guys that are going to pitch in a goal here or there, but are really going to take the fight to Carolina, that are really going to grind up against them, that are really going to push them off the spot, that are really going to just keep them from getting that puck through the neutral zone. That's the whole key to the series. If they set up shop and you're in, it's over. Back to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, I do wonder what is the situation that it would take for John Hines to go to Pekka, because in fairness to Pekka, I think he's clearly shown that if he has to go in this Carolina series, he's ready to do it. 615-737-1025 is our number. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They're proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. See that logo right there on the ice? The Bally Sports you see right there, you know, imposed on the glass, imposed on the ice. That big Hiller logo. Hiller, they are very proud to be supporters of the Nashville Predators. When you walk into Bridgestone Arena, there's a giant Hiller banner there because they love the Predators that much. They're also proud supporters of the Vols, and they're proud supporters of the fact that tax credits for energy-efficient home systems are back this year. When you put an Energy Star certified equipment into your home, you'll earn a tax credit with the IRS. And this month, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical is helping you keep more money in your pocket and doubling that tax credit when you purchase select new HVAC systems or tankless water heaters. Also, they're offering special financing, which means no payments until next year. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you'll be or the service is free. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds and the Vols. We're live from the wholesaling studio powered by rumbleon.com at 3rd and Home in Germantown. It's Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Predator's cousin sends it back down left wing side. Here's Richardson trying for Olivier. Delay penalty call coming up on Carolina. Predators still control the puck. Lewington down the right side. Goes outside with it. Looking, and the Cousins try. Deflected it. And the Predators on the delay penalty extend their lead to 3-0.
I think that's Duchesne off the rebound, just kind of lurking in the weeds, and the shot comes off to the side and he buries it.
It was nice to see Matt Duchesne score twice on Pekka-Rinne night. As I tweeted out after the first goal, I said, I think that's him saying, hey, coach, you're not benching me. You're not benching me anymore. And if Matt Duchesne keeps scoring goals, he will not be benched.
Benched and then started playing harder the next game. That was something that you said that wasn't going to be.
I said it's something you can't bank on.
Oh, well.
I said you cannot bank on it.
I banked on it and it happened.
It happened in a meaningless game. Let's see what happens when it gets going for real. Which, of course, we will have tons of time to discuss, but today is Pekka Day.
It is Pekka Day.
So
no fighting on Pekka Day.
Unless you have a thought, or to the phones.
To the phones.
Phones we go. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jay has been waiting very patiently and is up next here on Stillman & Company. What's up, Jay?
How are you guys? I love the show. I agree with most of the takes. It can see every which way, but I have an opinion.
Thank you.
Absolutely. First of all, yesterday, Pekka-Rinne Day, quote-unquote, was a fan-based and media-based thing that took off. It was not organized by the team. It just took off in the morning, and it seemed to steamroll all day into the night, and it played out just the way a fan day likely should or would.
Sure.
But He has never made a comment saying that it's the end. They've always said that they've had the open door, as you have said. The comments even that he made last night, one is he actually just touched like on one sentence that nothing's in concrete for next year. While everybody was still celebrating Pecorino night. That's number one. Number two is the fact that he has said that he will not chase a Stanley Cup with another team. Those two things have been said. Could he go to Finland and play, conceivably? Absolutely, yes. I wouldn't see him taking the Carter Hutton role like you suggested, Jared, 100%, except for the fact that I think he does have a love for the team. They have a love for him. The older brother thing, the Finnish connection, the amount of European players that are coming into the team, there's something there. He is clearly the face of the franchise.
Jay, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I hear you, and I get it, but I feel like you want this more than you – like, you want this to be true. So you're like, there's all these European players on the team, so he would want to stay for all the European players.
No. That's not it, Jared. And I can see how you're saying that. But I still think that he does have something in the tank. And I could see
Got something in the tank now. I mean, he's got – Jay, thank you for your call, by the way. He's got something in the tank now. I mean, I don't think he can play every night. You know, I think that we learned that this year. You know, he'd come out of a great game and then a night off and then the next night and kind of struggle. So I don't think he's an every night guy anymore. But he's definitely got something in the tank. Let's kick it around the room. And I, you know, this could be a much larger topic, but I think the idea that he's coming back is probably wishful thinking. And that's just, maybe it's my opinion. Let's kick it around the room. Caroline, is he coming back?
No.
Ian, is he coming back?
I'm going to lean no.
Okay. You know, I mean, like, so I'm not to sit here to say that, well, I want him back. I mean, you know, Pekka. Not that, you know, Pekka and I are buddy-buddy or anything like that, but I feel like, you know, well enough to know each other well enough to, you know, maybe believe what comes out of the other's mouth. And I'll just say, Pekka, I want you to come back. But I'm not expecting Pekka to come back. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. And last night felt like it. And to the caller's point, yes, it was kind of media-driven, fan-driven. There were so many fans with signs that said, thank you, Pekka, or we love Pekka, whatever it may be.
Sure.
But also, he was the only star of the game last night. That is a team thing. And the standing ovation at the end of the game felt, yes, that's a fan-driven thing, but also it felt like it. So yes, while it felt very media-driven and fan-driven, it also had a little bit of depth in the team as well.
So I think I'm very modest. I don't like taking credit for things that, you know, but I also think sometimes it's important to point things out about yourself. I mean, I would say if we were on the modesty scale, I would say there's Pekka Rinne on one side, one end of the spectrum, and then there's Clay Travis on the total far other end of the spectrum, and I'd like to say I'm right in the middle. But I do like to point out sometimes that I think I ask the best questions in press conferences, as in I ask the questions that you know, are headlines in newspaper articles and are whatever. Well, yesterday I asked the first question about Pekka. Is he going to play and is he going to retire? And normally I'd sit here and say, hey, I asked the question today. I didn't really say that yesterday about that because I knew that if I didn't ask it, the next question would have been that question.
So you wanted to get it in first?
Well, I just went first. It was the most important thing, so I asked about it. But, I mean, look.
You win.
That everybody was talking about Pekka. I mean, look, it was inevitable. It was inevitable that it was going to be the talk. And so, yeah, media-based, fan-based. By the way, most things that are media-based are based off of what the fans care about. That's how we do this show.
Right. I mean, it's media-based because it's based in something other than just a random thing that we picked up out of nowhere.
Sure.
It's based in some sort of fact.
Right. It's like that, you know, the fans, when they get mad at the team, they go on those, like, Roman Yossi's a bad captain rants, and then, like, we don't really ever run with that. And as we said, we disproved that pretty obviously yesterday. But for the most part, if the fans are talking about it, we're probably talking about it too. Keith is up next on Pekka Rinne. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Keith.
Hey, guys. Jared, you're right there with Clay Travis. Let's not kid ourselves.
Oh, no.
Hey, yeah, you know, I hope Pekka comes back, but in a way, I hope he goes ahead and retires because last night was so perfect. You know, I mean, I'm kind of an emotional person anyway, but I did, man. I was tearing up, you know. But, you know, somebody like Pekka is easy to be like that. You know, he makes it easy. And
Let me say this about Keith, to your point. I think you really hit on something, and I appreciate your call. And what I think he hit on was, you know, let's say that last night was Pekka's last night. Let's say they play Carolina. Saros starts all five games. You know, they lose, you know, in five, and that's it. And Pekka goes back to Finland and does whatever. There's a pretty good way to go out. You know, that's a pretty good way to go out. And I know that everybody wants him back, and that it, but again, would you want Pekka if Pekka wasn't, you know, a good player, or if Pekka, you know, was really struggling down the stretch? Would you want to run him out there and get him beat in his last game 4-0, and that be the end of the career for Pekka Rinne? I mean, 99% of athletes don't get to pick when they go out. I have a buddy who pitched in a game in September of 2016 and was getting ready to go pitch in 2017 in the major leagues, and threw a pitch, and boom, Tommy John surgery, never got his velocity back, never got back to the major leagues, hung it up. And not that he's not at peace with that decision, but the fact that he didn't get to pick how he went out. You know, I mean, like, again, Steve McNair and Eddie George. Eddie George went out in the middle of the summer, right before training camp, contract dispute, he left. Steve McNair locked out of the facility. He got released. He left, went to the Ravens. Do you really want that for, like, if you're Pekka, like, that's where you look and you're like, man, you can't script it better than that. I mean, if this were a movie and you were trying to script it and you were looking at, here's a kid from Finland drafted in the eighth round, a round that doesn't even exist anymore, to a team that can't fill up its building, so the guy from BlackBerry is trying to buy him and move him out to Canada, and then all of a sudden they get mad enough, the fans do, that they just sell enough tickets in order to keep the team. The team gets sold to a local investor who happens to be a Ponzi schemist. Then you got to get more local people involved just to keep the team here, and then flash forward 10 years later, and they're the hottest thing going. Not just in the town, but, I mean, that Predators run, I mean, the way that the crowd was in Nashville at downtown, everything, I felt like that was a national story. You got Charles Barkley coming to game saying, man, this is like Michael and the Bulls in the 90s. And then to end it, you know, Vezina Trophy, continues his career, turns it over to a countryman who obviously they're very, very close, who he was an idol for, and then he has that game and he goes out. That's like a movie script. So I'm not saying I'm rooting for him not to come back. I'm not sure it can be much better than that. 615-737-1025. We'll just hit a couple more of your phones, and we will get a news update coming up next as we are live out here at Third and Home. Again, the Sounds kick off the season. Oh, man, it is playoff time. Today's Pekka Day, but it is playoff time as
playoff season.
Which is very, very exciting here on Stillman and Company. ESPN 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren Donick and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Given over left wing side, quick shot. Rinne stops not one shot, but two, maybe three, as the Predators come away with the puck.
Strong left pad. He was falling down after the initial save and was able to keep his pad down to make two more saves.
There you go. Pekka was on fire last night. Let's go back to your phones as promised. We'll get Caroline's news update here in a second, which, by the way, there is some juicy news. I mean, I know it's Pekka Day, but there is some juicy news. Let's go to your phones. Jim is up next. He wants to defend Victor Arvidsson. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Jared, I enjoy your intensity and preparation on the Preds and the Titans.
Thank you.
But if Victor can go, I want him in there. He was buzzing about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He was scoring. And even if they knock him around, our big guys can defend him. And so I want him in there for this playoffs if he can go.
So I understand what you're saying. I mean, he's going to be in there. Like, and I appreciate your culture. Like, Arvidsson's going to be in there. I'm just saying that if you want Rocco Grimaldi in it, you know, this is how this works, Carolina. One guy calls in, demands that Rocco Grimaldi be in the lineup. And I'm just like, look, there's no room for Rocco the way we think this series is going to go. there's not a spot for Rocco in the lineup. And if there was a spot, it would be Arvidsson's spot. So then the guy says, another guy hears that, hears it as Jared says, yank Arvidsson out. And I'm not saying yank Arvidsson out. I'm just saying if there was a spot, it would be Arvidsson's spot. And, I mean, Arvidsson's going to be in there, but I have soured a little bit on Arvidsson. That's all I'm saying. But you know how this works, is it's like you hear one thing and then you get mad about that.
Right, but the people love their Victor Arvidsson, so I don't think that they love hearing you say, oh, you know, pull him in the playoffs. And I don't think that's going to be the case at all.
Well, but they need to win. I mean, that's the one thing I love about this, right? Like, people love Arvidsson, so they don't want to take him out. Who cares? Who gives you the best chance to win?
I know. I'm not saying keep him in because the people like him, but people are going to call in and be mad if you say pull him.
I know. I mean, I'm trying to think of who's not. Okay. I'm just going to throw out names. You tell me if they're going to be in the lineup. Forsberg, Johansson, Tolvanen, Duchesne, Brad Richardson, Granlund. I mean, who are you taking out?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're not touching the fourth line.
No.
That's staying the same.
No.
And this is such a unique problem for the Predators now at this point in the season, because I feel like the conversation a month ago was who the heck is going to play? Everyone's out. Everyone's hurt.
Like 3 weeks ago, yeah, when everyone
Yeah,
got hurt.
It was not Rem that Pitlick long ago. In the lineup. Right. Well, Rem Pitlick was in the lineup last night and he looked good.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, again, I don't want to knock Pekka Knight because it was Pekka Knight, but, like, I mean, you know, you're not taking Eric Halla out.
No.
You're not taking Mikael Granlund out.
No.
You're not taking Cali Yarncroke out of the lineup. You're not taking Colton Sissons out of the lineup. So who do you take out of the lineup? And to me, if you want Rocco in there, you take out Arvidsson. That's it. It's a one-for-one thing, and that's it. Arvidsson will be in there. It's time now for Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
All right, give it to me straight.
Some very exciting news for baseball fans in Nashville. Jeff Passan, ESPN baseball writer, released an article today that said the Oakland Athletics will start exploring the possibility of relocating with the blessing of Major League Baseball. So Rob Manfred had said that the league will not expand. It will not add any expansion teams until the A's and the Marlins get a new ballpark.
The Rays
get new ballparks. And the Rays had said, okay, here's our plan. Our lease is up for this park in 2028. That's when we'll start looking at new plans for a new ballpark. But the A's have said, okay, at this point, we just think we would be better fit in a different city. Now, so far, the most likely landing spot for the Oakland Athletics would likely be Vegas. But Nashville, Charlotte, and Montreal are also, and Vancouver are also in conversation for the Oakland Athletics.
So here's the thing. I think we need to focus on Tampa Bay. And I know that everybody's like, whoa. Oh, you know, I want it now. Oakland looks like they're going to move now. They're going to keep a West team out West. So Portland's going to probably be in the mix here. And they'd like it because you got the American League West and Seattle's up there. So, okay. So Portland's going to be in play there and Vegas is going to be in play there. And like maybe Albuquerque, New Mexico's in play or something like that.
Which makes sense.
The Rays are the team. Now, I will go very in-depth in this at some point, maybe tomorrow, I don't know. But everybody asks me all the time, you know, are we going to get a baseball team, Jared? Are we going to get a, first of all, we have the sounds, but are we going to get a baseball team, Jared? And I know what they mean, Major League Baseball. It has to be another county in the state of Tennessee. It's not going to be Davidson County. Let me just ask this question. Is John Cooper really going to build a baseball stadium? Okay. So, now that we have that out of the way, I think it has to be Rutherford County.
Why not?
Well, you're new here.
Yeah.
So, you don't know John Cooper very well.
No.
He's the mayor.
Yes.
He, in 2018, came in studio and got into a shouting match with me about the soccer stadium. He didn't want to build a soccer stadium.
Well, that's built.
Right. But that was, he was Metro Council member at large then. Now, he's the mayor. John Cooper's not building a baseball stadium. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
But that's just take it off the table.
Yes.
Now, even if there's a mayor after John Cooper, and there will be a mayor after John Cooper, but even after that, again, there's just not money in Davidson County, in my opinion, to build a baseball stadium. And this Nashville Stars thing where they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to have totally, you know, no taxpayer dollars to build a brand new state-of-the-art downtown facility. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. It makes zero sense. So it has to be, I think, Rutherford County, and I think it has to be the Rays. It's going, though, to take some time. I think the Rays are locked into their lease until 2027.
2028, I saw, but that season.
Okay, so you would have to basically have it done by, like, 2025, 2026. So that gives you time to put in a plan. You build a giant entertainment district in Rutherford County that has a ballpark inside of it. You get a bunch of great bars and restaurants like Third and Home, which, you know, is a fantastic bar that we're at right now. And what I would do is I would go to the Broadway bars and I would basically want like a Rippy's ballpark, you know, kind of like the Battery in Atlanta. Then you move the Rays. Why does it have to be the Rays? Because instead of an expansion franchise where you got to sell tickets and get players, you get the Rays, decent team, decent organization structure, and you get 9 home dates against the Yankees every year, 9 home dates against the Red Sox every year, and I have to assume that they will make the Atlanta Braves the primary rival of the Rays as opposed to the Marlins like it is now. Mm-hmm. And you'd have at least 2 dates, maybe more, against the Braves every year. So now we're talking about 20 dates that are probably going to sell out no matter what. I think that's the way to go. And, like, I would buy season tickets. I would. I would buy season tickets, and I wouldn't go every night. But I'd go a lot of nights, and it'd be like, oh, it's a Saturday night at home against the Red Sox. We're driving 45 minutes down to Murfreesboro to go to the game. They'd still be the Nashville team, but it would be outside of Davidson County. I think that's your best bet for a team. And I know everybody gets excited every time, and everybody, well, what about this Nashville Stars thing? They got Justin Timberlake. They got Luke Combs. Those guys can't buy baseball teams. I just want everybody to know that. Those guys can't buy baseball teams. And not only that, I don't think a single baseball team is up for sale. So it's going to take some time. It's going to have to be, you're going to have to get part of the deal. They're going to have to negotiate out early with Tampa Bay because Tampa and Oakland are not building new stadiums. So you'd have to kind of get Tampa Bay to negotiate their way out a little bit early, but you'd have to build them a big entertainment district with a ballpark in it. And it would cost a lot of money, probably $3 billion. But that's probably what it would take.
See, I think that the best thing for Nashville will be an expansion team. Because I think most people in Nashville already have their MLB team alliances.
You have to wait until 2030 for that.
But you would be waiting until 2028 for the Rays.
Right. But like I said, you can try to get the Rays to negotiate out a little bit. So maybe they're here in 2027. But, I mean, you get expansion, you start in 2030, and you're not good until when? I mean, it takes a long time to build an expansion team up from nothing. And then not only that, but where are you getting the money? And I don't know if you know this about land in Nashville, but they're not making more of it. So by that time, will there even be space for a ballpark and for a stadium district and a thing of that magnitude? I don't see expansion. I just don't see it that way. I don't see expansion. You know, what division do they put you in? It's all great. Now the Milwaukee Brewers are coming to town. Like, I mean, give me the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Braves because that'll fill it up.
You were just American League Alliance. I'm a big National League girl. But anyway, speaking of an expansion
I'm not American League Alliance. Who's going to get butts in the seats?
Speaking of an expansion team, a price tag for an expansion team is very, very high. Rob Manfred came out recently and said that it would be about $2.2 billion to buy an expansion team. And he said, you know, that's the average cost of a baseball. That's the average value of a Major League Baseball team. But a lot of people are saying, no, that's way too high because there are a lot of teams that are worth a lot more than your regular average baseball team. See the Yankees that are worth $6 billion. The Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Giants are all worth over $3 billion. So he's asking for a new expansion team. The price tag to be $2.2 billion. And right now, Major League teams that are worth $2.2 billion are the Cardinals, the Mets, the Phillies, and the Angels. Like, do you really think an expansion team is going to have the reach and the value of the Cardinals, the Mets, and the Phillies, and the Angels?
Yes.
I don't think so.
You're asking me, do I think that price is worth it? Do I think $2.2 billion
I think it's high.
Is worth an expansion price? That's the price. And I think the thing about those kind of prices is somebody going to be willing to pay it? That's what it all boils down to. is the price of something is not, you know, what Forbes values your team at. The price of it is what somebody is willing to pay for it. I mean, I think the Clippers were valued at like $900 million, and Steve Ballmer bought them for like $3 billion. So all of a sudden, who cares about Forbes valuation? It's all what someone's willing to pay. I don't know if someone's willing to pay $2.2 billion for a baseball team, but that doesn't really surprise me. I mean, the owners are going to get their money now. If you expand, owners are going to get their money. And not only that, I would argue that you're going to have to build them a stadium that's about worth that much, if not more, with that entertainment district. So I'm telling you, Rays, get a team that's already got an organizational structure, already has. We know, look, the Yankees and the Red Sox might not be good, but you know that if they're on the schedule, there will be butts in the seats. And so I don't see expansion as likely. And again, I don't see a Major League Baseball stadium being built in Davidson County. So you're going to have to get away from that. What else is in the update?
This weekend, DK Metcalf ran in the USA Track and Field Golden Games and Distance Open. He wanted to qualify for the Olympics in the 100-meter race. He ran a 10.35. And just to put that into perspective, I mean, you're breaking down hundreds of seconds here when you're talking races, but Usain Bolt set a world record with 9.58. DK Metcalf ran a 10.36. It's pretty impressive. He came in 15th of 17th place. He did not qualify. But, I mean, a guy of that size running 100 at that speed is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty cool.
Super cool.
I guess I'm not huge into all that stuff, like the running and the swimming and the Olympics. Like, it's fine. I will say this, man. I missed on DK Metcalf. Oh, my God. I thought he was a combine warrior, run straight line kind of guy. Thought he'd be, you know, whatever. And, boy, he's a superstar. I mean, he is a stud. So I definitely missed on him. I mean, I think, like, the idea of DK Metcalf finished in last place, ha, ha, ha. I mean, okay. Like,
well, I mean, the guy's not a professional runner. I mean, these people dedicate their lives to running 100-meter races. He dedicates his life to football and just happened to say, hey, I think I want to run in the Olympics in the 100-meter race.
What's next?
Also, the Jaguars plan on signing Tim Tebow. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. Jeff Darlington came on ESPN today and said that not everyone in the Jaguars building is thrilled with this. That is not surprising whatsoever.
That's because it's stupid.
It said it doesn't send the right message to the rest of the guys in the locker room. Urban Meyer thinks it could be a cultural jolt in the locker room. Of course Urban Meyer thinks that. Of course he's going to say that. But I think it sends such a terrible message that, look, hey, this guy hasn't played an NFL down since 2012, but now we're going to bring him in and pay him a bunch of money, even though he hasn't played in 9 years.
So I heard Robbie and Retro talking about this morning, and they kind of chuckled. You know, they talked about it a little bit or whatever. And then it just out of nowhere, Robbie just goes, I think this is pretty much like we all think Urban Meyer is going to be an unmitigated disaster, right? And I was just like, yes. Like that, yes, that's the take. Like that is,
yes.
And Robbie said it so matter-of-factly, like everybody just knows, it's just, it is what it is. And
it felt like a disaster when he was first announced as head coach.
Yeah, it sounded dumb, and now this is a joke.
Pomp and circumstance.
It's a joke. Headlines with Caroline. Stillman & Company, we are live from Third and Home. Do all that talking about getting a major league team. Look at the sounds. Sounds are in town. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Stillman & Company is live from 3rd and Home here in Germantown. It's attached to First Horizon Park. And First Horizon Park, the best minor league baseball stadium in America, finally gets to get used. I don't even know what they did for the last year and a half, but it has been 500-plus days since they have played baseball. Tonight, the Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds. Just a little bit of a nice little rivalry there. Taking on the Redbirds, and I should just tell all the people out there that, of course, we love the fact that you can get your tickets, but this season, catch all the action of National Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, the home opener, a six-game homestand against the in-state rival Memphis Redbirds at First Horizon Park. The pregame will start at 6:20, first pitch 6:35. National Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza, and the voice of the National Sounds, Jeff Hem, will be on the call this season, has already been on the call, but will be on the call tonight for the home opener. Jeff, one, it's good to have you guys back. Two, more importantly, how have we been?
Jared, it's good to talk with you, man, and it is great to be back. It's great to be back in the ESPN Nashville family with our broadcasts. It is great to be overlooking this ballpark right now as I join you from my booth, and I can almost wave to you over at Third and Home, but you've got a good view over there, and I've got a fantastic view because there are ballplayers out on the field taking batting practice, preparing for a game. As you know, it's been over 600 days since we last did this in this ballpark, and it is just so sweet to have it back. It is, it's long overdue, and I'm just so thankful that it's here and that our great fans have been so patient throughout this whole process. And we're not all the way back, but, man, we are pretty close to back to normal with the sights that we get to have tonight.
And I think it's funny because you realize how much you miss the sounds when you go a summer without them. I was talking about this with Caroline the other day about just how entertaining the sounds games are on top of the baseball. And it's nice to have the Brewers back in the fold as the affiliate, the Major League affiliate for the sounds of the AAA affiliate of the Brewers. It's nice to have them back into the fold, a nice roster. So if you're a big time baseball fan, First Horizon Park's where you're going to want to be this year. And not only that, if you're just looking, you know, hey, where's outside, where's cold beverages, where's a good time to be had. Yep. You know, First Horizon Park, I think, checks all the boxes. This year, I know that it was kind of funky how Major League Baseball handled the affiliation situation. I thought, Jeff, that we were kind of in for a long marriage with the Texas Rangers. That was done after 1 year, but it's nice to have the Brewers back in the fold, and it looks like they've given the Sounds a pretty decent roster.
Yeah, they have. I mean, in the short term, we're 5 games into the season, so the old small sample size applies, but the Sounds have already hit 12 home runs. There is some serious firepower in this lineup, and several guys who are either high-level Brewers prospect, like catcher Mario Feliciano or pitcher Aaron Ashby, or guys with a ton of major league time, like former Atlanta Brave Jace Peterson, former batting champion and all-star D. Strange Gordon. Logan Forsythe's had a ton of big league time. He actually makes his home here in Middle Tennessee these days. He's a Tennessee native. He's on the team. So you've got a very traditional, I guess, in some sense, AAA roster because you've got that perfect blend of the young guys coming up and good veterans around them who are trying to get to the big leagues in their own right. And to your other point, I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, we the Sounds take great pride in having something for everybody. I know that is easy to say, but it is so true. It's never been truer as we finally get to have this season get underway. If you are the hardcore baseball fan who wants to be as close as you can and never miss a pitch, we are more than happy to have you, and we've got a really high level of baseball to let you watch. If you're the bandbox crowd or you're letting the kids run around toward the grass berm or somewhere in between, we've got all of that for you, new menu items, new promotions this year. It's never just a copy and paste from, well, whatever we did last year, let's do it again the next year. It's always being evaluated. It's always got the fans' best interest in mind. Certainly this year there are some protocols in place for the fans' best interest in mind, the old know before you go, which we've got laid out on NashvilleSounds.com as far as the different policies and how to get your mobile tickets. We're no more printing tickets. It's all digital, which other teams around town have done. So I think a lot of fans are used to that by now. But that's one change since we last had a game in 19. There's a clear bag policy. MLB is requiring facial coverings for entry. And if you're moving around the concourse, but if you're in your seat eating and drinking, you can obviously pull the facial covering down. But that's an MLB thing. We want our fans to know that as they come to games this homestand. It's not a Metro Nashville thing. It's an MLB policy throughout their countrywide ballparks, the facial covering required upon entry. So those things are in play, but I think in large part it can feel fairly normal. We're at 40% capacity tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday, but then beginning Friday, we're basically at 100%. I say basically because we will have a couple of pod-style, socially distanced seating in a couple of sections, but otherwise it's 100%. So it's back. We've got it. We're more than ready. We've been craving for this season, so we're going to put on a good show for the fans on and off the field and make sure we do it as safely as always.
You left out the most important player on the Sounds, Jeff.
What's that? Who you got?
Corey Ray. Most important.
I knew
player.
You'd go for the Louisville alum. I knew you'd go for the Louisville alum.
We went to college together. I mean, it's kind of you got. Well, hey, Nick Solak was here a couple years ago, and now we got
got
Corey Ray. So I just
that's right. Corey's off to a good start. He's already hit a couple home runs. He made his big league debut a couple of weeks ago, so he's gotten the proverbial taste of the big leagues, and he's just in a great frame of mind. He was my pregame show guest over the weekend in Toledo. He's just in a great place mentally. He's looking great physically. I think he's just ready, and he says all the right things. He knows he's been a top prospect for a long time, and some guys have gotten to the big leagues faster than he has. But he says, "Hey, I want to earn it. I haven't earned it yet. I'm going to earn it." He's just in a good place. I would not be surprised if he did get a quick shot up to the big leagues because he's playing really well and he just seems to be in a good spot. So, no, I would never leave out a former Louisville guy for you, Jared. And you're going to have to give me all the things I need to know because we go to Louisville now this season in our new AAA East realigned league with some more geographical proximity to our opponents. So you're going to have to make sure that I know what to do in Louisville, okay?
I when I saw the realignment, I thought Jeff Hems probably going to be pretty glad to not be making all those trips out west. The Salt Lake City trip is now no longer on the docket.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of changes for us since the last – I mean, the last time the Sounds had a home game, you mentioned it a little bit, we were a Rangers affiliate playing in the Pacific Coast League. Now we're a Brewers affiliate in the AAA East League. The realignment portion was long overdue. I mean, it's fitting that it Sounds Redbirds tonight because all along a lot of people said, well, why don't you just take the Sounds and the Redbirds and move them over to what used to be the International League? They've effectively done that now. Omaha and Iowa have come over too, although they're in a different division. We're excited. We're excited to host the Louisville Bats. We know there are a lot of Reds fans in Nashville. We certainly know there are a lot of Braves fans. We've got Gwinnett coming in next week. We know there are a lot of Cardinals fans, so we're glad to keep playing Memphis. I mean, that part of it, the MLB fandom part of it, of the Middle Tennessee market is really important for our fans. It's just another element of what I was mentioning earlier, something for everybody. If you're the Chase McCabe Braves fan, we've got Gwinnett. Now, you still need to root for the Sounds, but if you want to come out to see the young Braves, I understand that, and you just got to make sure you wear the right hat when you do it.
Jeff Hem, as always. Jeff, appreciate you. We'll see you on the call tonight.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jared. Talk to you soon.
Yep, Jeff Hem will be on the broadcast, ESPN 94.9. Man, I used to, actually cry, but I used to be just so bent out of shape about the fact that, like, I was a Braves fan and that, you know, the AAA Braves never came. You know, they never came. They were in Richmond, Virginia. They never came.
Well, now you're in luck.
Yeah, now I am in luck.
Yeah.
Coming up next, I have one unpopular opinion about Pecorino night last night.
You've never had any of those.
Well, here's the thing. I've gotten to the point now where I know what an unpopular opinion is going to be, and it's not going to keep me from having the unpopular opinion. It's my opinion.
Fine.
I had it, so I'm not going to change it. But
staying par for the course.
I have one unpopular Pecorino day thought. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.